Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you like to be just introduced as Rob de Bank?
That's not my, like, Robbie's fine.
Robbie is fine. Everyone refers to you as Robbie, and then I'm like, no, but then, is that too close? Anyway, yeah, let's just start it.
Yeah,
you can just say your own name.
You don't have to, like, hello, I'm Robbie, a.k.a. Rob de Bank, a.k.a. Robert Gorham, to give me my full moniker.
Not your real name.
unbelievably, it's not.
Oh, my God. I only just found this out today. All right, let's start the podcast properly.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it is me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
What?
We've got Rob de Bank on the programme.
Oh, all right, Rob de Bank, how are you?
All your listeners are like, Rob de who?
Robbed a what? Which bank? Yes. Why are you called Rob de Bank, Rob de Bank?
Yeah, I wish I had some really amazing, funny story about it, but I was DJing in a little bar in South London down the road, and I needed a DJ name, and the barman said, call yourself Rob the Bank.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was called Rob the Bank for a while, and then it got abbreviated somehow on a flyer, and Rob the Bank was born.
So you've never actually been in an NatWest wearing a ski mask or anything?
No,
like
no. I keep on making up stupid stories about my dad being a bank robber and stuff, but it never stuck. So, it was like literally a stupid joke made up for about a month when I thought maybe I'll have a crack at this DJing lark, and then it kind of stuck.
And can I just say again, I didn't know it wasn't your real name, because
what?
I know.
Wait. He's a DJ.
On my
but
passport.
Even that aside.
Hello, Mr. Rob de Bank. Yeah, come on in.
You thought his surname was de Bank, and yes. His parents actually called him Rob.
Yes. Like, for reals.
Are you making this up for comic effect?
No.
In all seriousness.
Yeah, like
wife is called. Because I was thinking, no, that's not his real name. But then your wife is called Josie de Bank, and then I was like, well,
that joke
would...
doesn't even work, does it?
No. Exactly. So why would she have de Bank if that's not a real name? And that got me confused. And but it's not.
Clearly. You fucking idiot.
Yeah. You absolute moron. Can I call you a moron? Maybe 5 minutes
ago. No. It's like we're family.
No,
oh my
I know.
God.
My mum does actually call me Rob de Bank as well. So she, you know, it's not totally mad that you've
no,
done that, but
not
but
your
she
real
knows
name.
It's not your real name, Rob.
I know, but it's better than Robert Gorham, isn't it? It's not very rock and roll.
No, Robert Gorham sounds like he would give you a very good deal on a mortgage.
Yes, Robert Gorham and Sons, butchers since 1974.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, but let's okay.
I don't know if I can get over that. You're going to have to ask the next question because I'm sitting here.
Okay, like, so for the listeners who don't know who you are, Robert, not your real name.
in case you were wondering. Glad we got that one out of the way at the top of the podcast.
You are a DJ, you're like a festival guru, and you're a father of four. Anything else? Aware of excellent genes?
Music supervisor.
Music supervisor?
Yeah,
amazing.
Just did the music to Big Little Lies season 2.
Wow.
So what's a supervisor
teacher.
Exactly? What do you have to do then? Make sure the music's behaving itself in the playground, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
No, so the director, Andrea Arnold, in that case of Big Little Lies, comes along and says, right, this is the scene, you know, girl running down the beach, needs something up-tempo, poppy, 90s, whatever, and you say, oh yeah, what about putting this in there? And so,
Yeah. Oh, cool. So you suggest the soundtrack, basically. Yeah.
Like a music curator.
Curator, yeah. Like a DJ on the TV.
Oh.
Awesome. That's so cool.
See, I could never do that, because whatever it was, I'd be like, do you know what, go with this? Venga Boys. Very, very sad funeral scene. Venga Boys, yeah. Up and down. Grizzly murder.
Yeah.
The Venga bus is coming. Come on, it works though. It works.
It is. That's a bit like Spanish Flea. I just think the Spanish Flea is one of those things. But I think that's my own soundtrack. That's how I go through life.
Next time I'm doing a series, I'll try and get the Venga Boys and Spanish. Is it Flea or Spanish Fly?
Yeah. See, that's good. You're welcome. I'm advising the supervisor, Ellie, with musical taste. So so music has been your life, like, from the get go. Did you know it was in your bones from when you were like a little debank?
From when I
was a little branch.
From when I was first in my dad's brass band playing the trombone tender age of 8 or something like that. Yeah, no, I did. I mean, music was my escape, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I sort of, grew up in the 70s/80s. There was black and white TVs, pretty much. You know, it was not a lot else to do. You had your bike in the summer. And then in the winter, it was like bugger all to do. Lived in a little village in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah, listening to John Peel on the radio or buying Acid House records or Manchester was kind of just happening when I was 16. So that was like, you know, Portsmouth was dressing up in flares and hippie kind of tops and getting into the Manchester vibe. So, yeah, it's always been that kind of escape, I suppose.
Mm. So you're saying you needed an escape because you lived in this sort of rural sort of communities that were away from, like, all the big cities and the culture. And interesting that you've moved your 4 children to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, to the furthest possible point from culture. Man. Sorry, Isle of Wight, I was only joking. Yeah, I know.
They know who they are.
Well, you know,
6 of them.
Yeah. I'm sure they're all listening.
That's 130,000 of us down there.
No way!
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you hiding? In the bushes?
Yeah, but, you know, it's like you turn into your parents, don't you? So, yeah, you buy a house in the middle of nowhere and make them ride bikes. And
speak for yourself. You're sitting in my house in Catford, son. Do you know what I mean? Why would you go anywhere that's more than 800 metres from a Nando's? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. But you wanted them to have the rural dream. Did you? Was that the plan? Or had you just had enough of, you know, all the Nandos?
Yeah. I think when we had our second kid, actually, and we lived in East Dulwich down the road from here, slightly more upmarket, but no, I'm joking.
literally, the houses are 200 grand more.
at least.
But I think, yeah, coming out of the gate and avoiding dog shit on the pavement and sort of trying to get the kids to scoot to school and sort of dodging sort of people driving their cars on the curbs. And I'm not saying this is London in general.
But that's okay.
Stereotyping South London as some mad, insane ghetto.
We love it. That's why I live here. It's exciting. Well,
and I miss that bit. I do miss that bit.
Oh,
but
late night chicken man.
Yeah. I like video games. I basically want to live in Grand Theft Auto. I'd like more hookers around here. That would be nice.
You have to drive 45 minutes on the Isle of Wight to get to anything like fast food. So,
I thought you were going to say 45 minutes from a hooker.
I'm not sure they exist on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, well, wow. There's
an
opening.
If anyone's listening, then get in touch.
Yeah.
So what is island life like? I like saying island life because it makes it sound like Jamaica or something.
Yeah, Grace Jones.
Is the Isle of Wight like exactly a little advert, or is it
what's
going on?
Yeah, it's just like Jamaica. No, it's amazing. As soon as the sun comes out in about April, then the whole island sort of wakes up. Everything goes green and the beaches are lovely. And then there's an amazing sort of season from April till October, and then everything shuts and everyone is driven off the island and the gates come down and we all hibernate until the sun comes out again. So it's quite a mad season.
Yeah.
And for kids, you know, it's an incredible place to ride your bike around or be on the beach or go surfing or whatever, but then it's the same for them in the winter.
Lock the doors. You know,
there's no
stay inside.
It's just the locals and it's kind of
like the Wicker Man. Oh, it's lovely.
It's worse than that, actually.
So you've got 4 boys and you were just saying aged from, was it 3 to 13?
Mm.
That's a noisy house.
4 children. I mean, 4. Some would say that's at least 2 too many, robbed a bank.
Well,
what's it like?
I had no say in any of the children being born. I mean, I obviously had a small a small part.
Oh, don't put yourself down.
That's what she said.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I just suddenly knew that Josie was pregnant, and then
Wait, hang on. You first of all, you know how babies are made.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I remember that bit. I remember it was in a camper van in France, and I thought this is brilliant. Like our sex life is back on the up, and then 9 months later there was a little screaming person.
So you didn't have? Did you not discuss having kids, or you know how?
I think if Josie was here, and sadly she couldn't make it, but she would probably say no, that it was very much a plan, a plot on her behalf.
Right. Well, you know,
well,
but it's worked out. She won.
She wanted a kid. I mean, I was so probably immature at that point, and you know, still in my early 30s. I was like a raver. I was still DJing all the time. I was like just living this hedonistic kind of
nice
DJ lifestyle. Really nice time. And then this flipping baby came along and spoiled it all.
Oh, don't they do that? Oh, they do put a bit of a dent.
But you love him very much. You have to say that in case he listens to this one, don't
you? Yeah. No, we got rid of that one. No, that was yeah, no, Arlo. Yeah, that was the first one, Arlo. So he popped. He was born at home in East Dulwich, actually, in the front room. And yeah, beautiful, you know, best thing ever, but...
And then the next three, Rob, at no point did you think of saying, perhaps after number two or even number three, did you think of saying to Josie, shall we have a conversation about whether to have any more children? Or, you know, just kept popping it in and they kept popping out. Like, what? How did that work?
I mean, contraception is not...
Something you believe
particularly
in?
Particularly something that is adhered to in our house. by myself. No one else, actually. But yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of all my fault. I just, yeah, we just never got into that sort of
not having babies vibe.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I mean,
this is
yeah.
wonderful.
But that's natural, isn't it? I mean,
that's
sort of natural.
Very natural. I mean, that's, you know, what we do, isn't it? We make humans with our body. But,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm not against
it. Here we are.
Against it. But my dad, who's a doctor, he did say, by number three, he was like, Robert, have you not heard of contraception? Like, he did literally take me aside for a stern word. And then after number four, this will sound like I'm name dropping, which I'm not at all, but I'm really good friends with Mark King from Level 42.
That's the best name drop ever.
No, he invited us out for dinner.
From Level 42.
And the songwriter. And he took us out for dinner with Fred Syriacs, you know, from dinner first dates.
Oh,
know, Fred,
oh the my Fred, God, yeah,
the Frenchman
no,
from the fantasy.
Can I do my French accent
yeah,
for you? Can,
yes, why don't you start now?
And I got a bit drunk and I said I'm about to go for the snip, and Fred took me to one side and said, and I can't do a French accent, but he said, do not do it, Rob. You'll be like a tired dog lying in front of the fire. An old dog lying in front of the fire. Do not do it. And so at that point, I was like, I'm really sorry, Josie. He's like, Fred Syriac just literally talked me out of it.
A Frenchman gave me dick advice.
Yeah.
Not your dick, actually.
Yeah, oh, just sorry,
technically, that's not.
You've gone from having no contraceptive plan to handing over control of your family planning to the French bloke off of first dates. That's where we've got to. This is amazing.
It's Fred's fault. If we have any more children, it will be his fault.
Perhaps you can send them
Jacques
to
Hughes.
There's your French exchange. There you are. Look after it. That's amazing. Oh, I love. Tell us some more celebrity anecdotes. Have you ever had a latte with someone from Go West?
That is the limit of my celebrity friends. My celebrity circle is Fred and Mark and
Level 42 and Fred Syriac. I mean,
excellent.
What a trifecta.
Me and Mark are the only D-list celebs who live on the Isle of Wight, so it's like me, Mark King. Benedict Cumberbatch just bought a house there. So
I'll pop over quite soon then.
So yeah, he's A-list, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's up there, stuff. Sherlock.
Yeah. Is Benedict Cumberbatch's actual name? We don't know. Helen can't possibly tell.
So
well, we'll
up,
get him on
it?
The podcast and then I'll find out through Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That was a bombshell. Anyway, so like in a nutshell, so you've got four kids, you're on an island, sometimes it's dark.
Sometimes it's dark.
Every day it gets dark. Yeah.
That
weird.
Also happens in London.
Things are learning a
little. Light, then dark, then light, and then sometimes dark again.
He's not in Scandinavia, he's not in Norway. It's not summer for 6 months of the year or anything. No,
I'm trying to paint a picture for our international listeners.
They know that the sun goes down every day. They know.
Yeah, I mean, you're making out like it's some little mosquito-ridden, malarial, tiny little... enclave. Yeah. It's a bit, you know, it's a big island. It's bigger than Ibiza, I think.
As we've established, it's like the Wicker Man, but with the bass player from Level 42. that's what it is.
Some eco lodgers, excellent.
Yeah. So now you see four children in. You must know something about parenting, possibly. What rules do you live by? Or have you got any sort of nuggets of wisdom, parenting wisdom, you can share with our listeners?
Wear condoms.
Don't become one.
Don't listen to Fred Siriac.
I'm a sort of total mishmash of being my mum and dad, or my dad, and then being a sort of new age 21st century, you know, just let them run loose type thing. So I swing between extreme strict kind of rules and sort of almost OCD levels of how wanting everything tidy, through to just do whatever you want whenever you want. And
So you're tidy, you like a tidy house, you like a...
I do like a tidy house, yeah. But then I don't want to be too strict, because yeah, my dad was quite strict, and is well, he's still alive, so he's maybe he's still quite strict. He hasn't told me to tidy my room lately, but
he has no power over you.
No. So yeah, in a way I'm sort of rebelling against that, and that's probably why I've got long hair and wear scruffy clothes, because I'm rebelling against that kind of slightly strict sort of upbringing. And then at the same time, yeah, I want to be kind of cool dad. And weirdly, I'm not cool dad. Weird, I don't know if that is. That's not weird, but you know.
I mean, my dad doesn't hang out with members of Level 42. That's, you know.
Do you know how many records Mark King has sold?
Probably more than me, let's be fair. Let's be reasonable. So how do you balance that then? So the house has to be tidy. No, I'm interested genuinely, because you're saying about your dad being strict, but you're a mix of the two.
Yeah.
So does it just vary day to day, or is it like... You can only have 8 minutes of screen time and you must tidy the room.
Yeah.
But also, here's £500, go and buy some drugs. Feel free to smoke them in the house,
that's
fine.
That's like a really lovely day out.
Josie she went to Marrakesh recently with Arlo, and Arlo did end up smoking a hubbly bubbly hooker thing. So, you know, and he's 13. So, yeah, on the one hand, I don't think there's nothing weird in it, or tobacco.
They taste like apple. They're very nice.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of drags on it and then puked up, but...
But lessons learned, yes.
Yeah, so we'll go from sort of that, and, you know, they were on our shoulders at watching Stormzy at Glastonbury and kind of living that sort of a life. And then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, homework and stuff I'm pretty militant on, and... But yeah, no, it's just trying to get a balancing act, isn't it? But I'm 46, but I still feel like I'm literally sort of learning every day. I've still got no idea really what I'm doing.
I feel like the nanny, and like the nanny knows what... Like, we've got this really cool DJ Canadian nanny called Frankie, and she's really cool. And like, she sat down and did like a schedule with my kids. I was like, wow, you're so cool. And I just like, hey, let's eat Mars bars for dinner. So I kind of feel like the kid, and even though I've been a parent for 11 years, I still have those mornings going, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
No, I know. Well, I literally take them to McDonald's drive-thru sometimes just to put two fingers up at my upbringing, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed fizzy drinks. There's no TV allowed. I remember me and my mum, who was in the days of Neighbours, and my mum used to get home from school, and then we'd watch Neighbours, and then had one of those really old box sort of TVs, and then my dad was a doctor, and he'd come home later from work, and we'd be wafting the back of the TV, trying to cool it down, because he'd come in and put his hand on the back of the TV, see if we'd been watching it.
Put the bag of peas on it, just cool it down.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was also a smell, because it was the, what was it called, something Ray?
Yeah,
and there would be a certain smell.
Oh my god. You've been hanging out with my dad too much.
Oh, I know. No. Well, because like my dad's a vicar, and so I grew up in a kind of religious
sect.
You know, what? No. But you know, there was that kind of overlay of like religion and those sort of things.
Yeah.
And then so I feel like sometimes with my kids, I'm like, yeah, let's just stay up late, and like
let's worship Satan.
Yeah, that's right. Put that that goat down. Yeah. We don't need a burner. But yeah, so I think there is something about that. And I still get excited about having money, and I could just like spend it on anything I like.
Yeah, I
can like buy 6 crunchies whenever I like. This is my life. And then I realise I'm an adult, and I'm not really going to stop that before my kids'
save
teeth.
Save that for your kids' teeth inheritance.
Yeah, exactly. It is a really strange world that our kids are living in. Like, I only used to have holidays in caravans and things like that.
Mm.
And my kids have never slept in a...
God, your background sounds even more backwards than mine.
We went to bed half an hour before we got up. That's right.
Part of a religious sect living in caravans in there.
Yeah, I mean,
the more you talk about your early life, the more I think you were in a cult. I'm just going to say.
No. It was just Australia.
Yeah, as I say, I'm so good. It's just one massive cult.
Yes. Yeah.
It's full of cults.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, culty. Anyway.
Yeah.
But look, should we get cracking into the meat and potatoes?
Start the podcast.
Let's start. This was just like the foreplay. So you are the founder or co-founder of Camp Bestival.
Yep.
And you just said like just before that you weren't a cool dad, but you have created like the coolest family festival I've ever been to.
Oh, that's very...
Yeah. And you've won
awards.
Have you
been to any other ones?
Yes. Yes, I have.
No.
Many, but like, so the reason we know you is because we have done Camp Bestival. How many times, Ellie? 4?
Oh, God, can't remember. Wow. Yeah.
Do you always travel together? You know, you can't go on your own. It's like...
No, we performed at it.
Yeah, no, sure.
Yeah.
I remember we do quite like to go in convoy sometimes. So yes. What we do is we'll get both our cars, separate cars, but then we'll sort of like catch up each other on the motorway or whatever. And do you remember one year?
Oh my God, this is the best day of my life.
I was sitting in the front seat. I think you had a McDonald's, and you were like, rah, like showing me the burger through the window of your car.
I've ordered McDonald's now.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. 2.
It's on the TV as well.
I was in my car and I put like the Fleetwood Mac on the chain really loud, and I got a bottle of wine that was like in the front seat and opened it and I was like, and like glugging it in front of you. No, my husband was driving.
My husband's driving. We can drink.
We don't drink and drive, to be clear. He was driving, and like we had this sort of competition down the motorway.
Things out of the back of the car. And like trying to
I'm gonna moon you this year. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, that's nice.
No, but we love it. And look, I'll be totally honest with you, I'm not a big festival person. I don't generally like them unless I'm being paid to be there. But I do love Camp Bestival because for me it hasn't got the really shit bits that the other festivals I've been to have got.
Yeah.
Like the toilets are good. Toilets are perfectly mostly fine. Yeah.
Oh, I like the drop one with the soil.
Compost, sort
of, that's good.
I think
that is the thing with Camp Bestival is for so many people it is literally their first festival. You know, and maybe they'll come back year in, year out, and we get loads of people that do come back. But for so many people every year, it is their, you know, they're not festival goers, they're not hardened veterans, and some people are in tears when they turn up because they're just so anxious about what they're about to embark on with their kids. You know, it's like they've got everything but the kitchen sink in their car, often 2 cars, dad's driven one, mum's driven one, they've got all their crap, and then they've got their kids there, and it's like and then they get there and they're like, this is the best place in the world. And I mean, that's what we sort of want to create for people, is and make it easy for them when they get there. And that's why there's so much stuff for kids to do, and it sort of needs to be that sort of wonderland for
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I think it is. And also, it is huge, but it's not massive, massive. It takes hours and hours and hours to get everywhere.
No.
And it's absolutely overrun with people. Like, it always feels like there's loads of people, but there's enough room for everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, because that's the thing that does me nutting about festivals.
Yeah.
I think people, because I think people who've never been to Camp Bestival, they probably think it's just, my God, that's 15,000 under 16-year-olds and 15,000 adults. That sounds like an absolute nightmare. It's just going to be loads of screaming kids. But it's not, is it? You get there, everyone's doing something. Mm. And by about 1 in the morning, everyone's gone to sleep, totally knackered.
Which, again, is right up my street. I do not want to hear someone walking past my tent at 3 a.m. going, has anyone got any ketamine? No, I don't want to go to that festival.
No.
I'm
going
to go to your festival, where at worst you're going to hear, Mummy, I can't find Peppa Pig. I can tolerate
that. Turn off the candle.
No, we've done other festivals and where, you know, like young people go to, we were cross by about 4 a.m. going, oh, the fucking bongos. Someone always has fucking bongos at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
No, because we started going when you were pregnant, I think. So yeah. this is you know, so, and our kids were really little.
How does getting pregnant happen? Yeah, yeah. Do you really? Well, what happened was, I was on the pill, but then I met Fred Syriex, and he said, "Don't do it." I said, "Just stop taking it."
No, your flaps will fall off.
You with Mark King?
Yeah,
he's not the dad, is he?
Who knows? It's someone in Liverpool today. I'm not allowed to say who. So I was pregnant with the first one, I think.
Yeah,
I did.
So you were pregnant at Camp Bestival
with a 3-year-old as well.
Wow. Yeah,
yeah. But I still enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah. I went to Latitude the same time and had a less good time.
Yeah. I remember our less good time at Latitude because it was just, there were noisy people at night.
So possibly comment on
festivals.
I mean, I won't tell the whole story. We've told it on the podcast before in a previous episode. But basically, I went to bed early, pregnant with the 3-year-old, said to my husband, go for it, have a few beers. And he came home at like 5-6 in the morning, covered in mud. I said, where have you been? He said, I met this really cool chick who's got an Airstream. And
isn't it? Yeah.
Things spiralled out of control.
Hello, I'm pregnant.
Then I had to stop him leaving the tent naked at 7:30 in front of, you know, I had to stop him basically exposing himself to your daughter who's outside having some Cocoa Pops.
Yeah. Well,
weirdly, I'm so peed off. Josie's not here because she's got a very similar story where she had to put me to bed at 6 a.m. at either the Big Chill or the Secret Garden Party when she had either pregnant or just with baby Arlo with her and yeah, I've not being forgiven for that one.
No. Rave safe, lads. Just do half. Just do half.
Come home at 3:00. That's the thing. But I loved it for my kids because the great thing about a festival, it's not like, you know, when you go and buy a really expensive ticket to like a theatre or something, you're like, you will sit down for an hour and a half and you will enjoy it. If the kids get a bit shitty, you're like, hey, we can go see something else, or let's go get an ice cream.
Yeah. And whatever it is, we can have a cider while you're doing it.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think, a lot of people just hang out in the campsites all weekend. Obviously, they do come in and see some acts now and again.
Yeah.
But you could easily just, it's kind of like going camping, isn't it? Well, it is going camping.
Yeah.
But you don't
It's quite an expensive way to go camping if you're just camping. I would say get the value out of it.
In the background.
Yeah.
Even if he's playing live or, you know, Fatboy Slim's over there, yeah, whatever. I'm just
Well, again, you could just go camping, Rob, and put your car stereo on. I mean, I'm not trying to. I know you're trying to set it in.
But it's the coolest campsite in the world, then, isn't it? It's like, you know, Camp Bestival is cool.
The food is excellent, and the spectacular fireworks on the Sunday night.
See, I have to confess, I've never stayed.
She's never stayed a Sunday
of any festival. I don't think
that's the best night.
I have not a great time. I have a great time. I get on there on Thursday, so get there nice and early. Have a great time Friday. Have a great time Saturday. By Sunday lunchtime,
do you get the fear?
I'm
you're
ready.
Like, I don't want to get caught up in everyone leaving. No,
a little bit of that. That's an advantage, but it's more like, I've just had enough. Not that
you're
I hate
Catford.
It, but I don't want to hate it. I'm like ready to go now and have a pub lunch and then home and a shower. And my husband one year coined the phrase Scheitenfreude, which is during Glastonbury weekend, having a shit on your own toilet, knowing one of your friends is at Glastonbury having to shit on their toilets. And that's by Sunday lunchtime. I'm like, I've had a lovely time. I'm going to leave on a high.
Yeah.
Get out now. But come on, you've had some amazing headliners at Camp Bestival over the years. But can we talk? There's really only one, isn't there? There's really only one big guy that everyone comes to see.
Uh-huh.
Tom Ball!
Mr. T!
The Fletchinator!
Justin Fletchinator.
I mean, Camp Bestival is not Camp Bestival without Justin. He's done all of them now, so that's like 13 or 14.
Wow!
And I remember the first year, because he was just sort of, he wasn't starting out, but he wasn't that big, so he was fine. He was just walking around the site doing all. I remember we got him doing autographs in an autograph tent, and there was just like about 5 or 6 people queuing up. And then 2 years later, we had to have like, it was a bit like President Trump. It was like he was in a golf buggy with 4 security running like outreach with like fending kids off. He's like Elvis kids, isn't he? Literally like, get out of the way, Justin's coming through. And now he can't actually go out on the site. And it says in his contracts, and he's not being wanky, he's like lovely guy, nicest guy ever. But it says in his contract, you know, Justin will not go out in the audience now because he literally just gets mobbed and bombarded by adoring fans. So, he's
is it true he nice arrives man. By helicopter?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Ford Escort or something. No, but he gets there with his dancers. He meets some kids backstage and, you know, does all that. He's not full of airs and graces, but yeah, I mean, I've sort of slightly grown out of it now, but yeah, he's got something about him, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. We met him backstage actually, and we had a selfie with him, and I have shared it on our social media several times, and every time I do, everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's a double! Oh my god, he has that kind of reaction."
Unless you've had kids, and everyone's like,
"What is in his spotty bag?"
And then you show someone a picture, and they're like, "But that's just a clown without the proper makeup." Yeah. You're like, "No, you don't understand. Just tumble.
This is a man.
Tumble mania.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want it? We've written a song. Do you want to hear it?
Give us.
Let's get ready to tumble. Let's get ready to tumble. Come on.
He will like that. He will like that.
Yes. We had one of the best nights of our life at Cannes Festival a couple of years ago when we did a lock in. We did a wine tasting with this woman called Helen McGinn, the Naked Mother's Wine Club, and DJ Sarah Cox, and we had just wine tasting with women, and they'd all been obviously.
Was it women only?
Yeah, it was their night
That's
out.
That's a bit sexist, isn't it?
No, not at all. It's our turn. It's our time. Yeah. Guess what?
Nobody was sexually harassed or raped. Yay!
Just what he wants to do. Put that on the poster.
That's the point of women only events. Yay! Yeah, yeah.
Really, really, really safe. But no, it was really funny. At the end, we all got quite drunk because someone said, "Oh, you know, let's call Tumble." And Sarah Cox was like, "Oh, he's in my phone." And
she had Mr. Tumble's number for some reason. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and she said, "I'll call him." And then she put the phone to the microphone, and then it was like, "This number does not exist." And she's like, "Oh my god, I've been denied. He gave me the wrong number." And then someone started chanting, fuck Tumble, yeah. And the whole group
got
like,
the whole going, fuck Tumble.
Yeah,
because I just like it was echoing. But no, we love Justin, don't we?
Oh, very, very much, and can't wait to.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hang out.
Give them a cuddle.
We do like to end the podcast with Scummy Mummy Confessions. Have you got one you can share with us?
Do you want me to start? I've got a fresh one.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so a friend of the podcast, Tova Lee, has just written a book called Fucked at 40. And my kids get excited when a package arrives at the door. And I said, oh, look, you can open that. So my son, who's 8, opened this book and box, and firstly, the book is called Fucked at 40. Again, thrilled that there's a swear on a book. Yeah, Fucked at 40. And the other thing that Tova included as a gift was this vibrator. And he said, what is that?
I improvised
and said, it's a mouse for the computer. And it was red, right? And ooh. So this was a couple of, and it was like, it was.
Show me how it works, Mum.
Yeah. So I just whipped it out of his hand and said, oh, we can, I'll show you later. Anyway, so for the last 3 days, where's the special mouse, Mummy? Where's the special mouse? Where's that red mouse? Where's the red mouse? And my husband.
In the special hole.
Oh my god, it's been caught by a cat. No, it's yeah, so, and my husband is like doubled over.
How are you gonna get out of that one?
I know, I am going to buy a red mouse from the shops. I think I'm gonna have to find
one. That's elaborate, yeah.
Yeah,
like, but I don't think he's gonna really think that's the same one that he saw a few few days ago.
I'm hoping that his memory gets faded and things like that.
I'm sure it's a bit longer than that before, Mum.
Yeah. Where are the other
ribby bits at the end?
I don't know if I have one.
Anything funny happened in Centre Parks?
In your life?
Yes, I did go to Centre Parks the other weekend, and sadly, nothing that I can recall that funny or embarrassing happened. But it does remind me of, there was a confession at our show about this mum, and she was breastfeeding her little baby, and her three-year-old, I think, was at Centre Parks, and they had one of those shooty fountain things that spurts water up, and he went, mummy, look what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and
he was like,
he pulled his trunks down and he was letting the water like squirt up his arse. No, he was, the first
damn
thing
right,
his
that's what I'd do.
He had his trunks on and he was like letting the water squirt up his arse. And then he pulled, and she was like, no, stop doing that. And then he pulled down his trunks and
Tommy
gave himself,
was just filling up.
Like, he gave himself a full enema. Shitting everywhere. And she's sitting there breastfeeding the baby, so she's like, ah! And then she saw, like, the dad, her husband, like, walking over towards them, and she was like, that man! It's that man's child! Like, made the dad, like, pick him up.
Is that your kid?
And they had to, like, evacuate the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
God bless. Can we just say, because there's been so many shit at Centre Park stories, God bless the staff at Centre Parks.
Yeah.
And literally the shit they have to deal with.
Yeah, living with the risk of typhoid every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knows what is going to come out of a child at any minute.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. So, Rob, do you have a confession for us?
Nothing as hilarious as that, but... yeah, when we first... Well, not when we first had Arlo, because we only had him once. I think he only came out once.
Thank God.
Regularly how it happens. Isn't
yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Have they ever gone back in and then come back out?
You don't
even
seem to know how they get there in the first place,
son. Actually, I hand-delivered Arlo, so...
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Wow. Yeah, we had him at home with some whale noise on and with a sort of spiritual midwife. And, yeah, we'd done the hypnobirthing and stuff. So we got it all set up and, you know, I'd been to all the... classes with Josie and, you know, all the massage and, you know, we got a lovely sort of Indian rug out and it was all set up beautifully, and then Josie was kind of going into labour, but I didn't really realise how far advanced it was, but she was supposed to be going into a having a water birth in the tub downstairs.
Yeah.
It's in East Dulwich, and so she was sort of saying, I think it's really happening now, and I could tell it was sort of happening, but I was too busy cooking pizzas because I was getting a bit peckish from all the hard work that I was doing absolutely nothing while Josie was in labour, that I didn't heat up the water in the
pool.
Oh my God.
So instead of this beautiful water birth with Arlo just floating out into the water, it was like a stone cold, she was like, Robbie, he's coming, right, okay, oh fuck, I'm like too busy cooking pizzas to actually
thrilled she must have been.
The hot tub. Yeah. So, and all the money.
Stone cold water, but a stone baked pizza. So that was all right. Yeah, yeah.
I ran upstairs and she had him in 45 minutes. So it was like absolutely.
You could have ordered a fucking pizza in that time, Rob.
I know, but I was hungry. The next one was born in 25 minutes.
Jeez. God, what were you doing then? Super noodles?
Oh, dear.
But I don't know if... Yeah, that's not that scummy, but...
You caught the baby.
It was a crap... It's you know...
I love that your wife was denied a beautiful water birth because you had the munchies.
You were fucking about with pepperoni, for fuck's sake.
I did get it right the second time for the 25 minutes of Merlin. Yeah, this is absolutely crisp, lovely.
This is good, yeah.
No, I got it ready for the second one. So Merlin was born in water.
Should we talk about the sketch? Because we've done it before.
Yeah.
We should be honest.
Yeah, we should.
So I'm going to be honest with you. We do a sketch, not based on you, obviously. I know when people say that, they always think it is, but
what's
it's not.
Called?
It's called The Right on Dads.
Yeah.
And right. So you basically are thinking about me when you're...
No, but we didn't
it's
know
like that
you.
That disclaimer
we
is
didn't
basically...
Know. We didn't
just
know.
Like,
we made a sketch 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't know this, but the bit in the sketch where they're sort of introducing themselves, I go, I've got two boys, Cassius and Lazarus.
And I say, I've got one of each. They're called Merlin and Mooncup.
So we're just telling you now, in case you or someone else sees that sketch, and you're like, those bitches.
Rip the mics off you and shut the stage down.
I mean, all the way from the Isle of Wight.
My kids middle class names.
Just telling you.
No, but it's Merlin with two R's. That's what we said. Yeah.
My kids are called Hugo Matilda, so it's all a different kind of wanky. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're just telling you now, Rob, so you don't think we've, you know.
Yes, stolen my...
What are the names of your other sons?
Arlo, Merlin, Miller and Eli.
Oh, they're lovely names.
Elijah, Prince, Graceland, Linwood, Gorham.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Fuck Get out!
It was the year that Prince died, and Josie became obsessed with listening to Graceland while she was in
Ellie's favourite album.
She was pregnant.
It's my favourite album, but
what, After Steps. What, Graceland?
Yeah, my second child's called 5678.
Paul Simon's Steps. How can that be?
I'm eclectic, man. Yeah. I'm fucking eclectic.
And like the John Peel of Mummy podcasts.
Yeah. No. Exactly right. Anyway, I feel
that bombshell.
5678.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Where can people follow you, Rob?
In Catford at the moment.
Yeah.
Follow me down the dark alley in Catford, or Rob De Bank on 1973 on Instagram. Are you actually asking me to do this? Because I've never done this before.
Yeah. Okay. Don't have to.
Yeah, I don't know. Twitter, Facebook, all social media.
Okay, Rob De Bank, not your real name. You can follow us at Scummy Mummies.
I've got to say, every time we end the podcast, we always say, and our book is still in print. Yes. We had a message today from a follower thinking that our book was still being printed, so for the last 18 months has been waiting for our book to come out,
and printed.
Today, listener, she bought the book online, so to that guy, well done.
That makes me feel better about you thinking that's his real name. Like there are more people like you.
What a lovely arc.
Yes. lovely arc. Oh, that's nice. Thank you so much,
Rob. Thank you. No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Brilliant. Wow, thank you very much for listening. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the thing, seriously, we get given vibrators sometimes, and I'm like, well, I can't put that in the charity shop. No. Like, what am I supposed to...
They can if they're not used.
Can really? You? Do you think Save the Children wants a vibrator? I don't know.
The Red Cross? No.
Feels like extraneous.
Oh, we could give it to your wife.
There should be a vibrator bank, like a food bank, where you can just take them.
Sex bank.
Perhaps we'll set them up. Sex bank.
Sex to bank.
I think my taxi's...
Wank bank.
Right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.